Dear God, we just thank you, Lord, for that truth, that you love us, God. Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation, Lord. Lord, for the death of Jesus, Lord, and his resurrection. We just thank you for that gift, Lord, and we just praise you and praise your name, because you are a great God. You are a great, great Father, God. And we just stand here today, Lord, praising your name. Lord, I pray, as Dennis comes to speak to us, that you would just speak through him, that your word will shine through. Lord, that if there's anything that we need to hear, that you'll just lay it on our hearts, and that we will know without a doubt, God, that you are always there. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Hey, I'm Dennis. It's good to see you today. It's been a week of some fun, pleasant surprises, some controversies, all kinds of fun stuff going on. I mean, the Illini are 4-0. Can you believe it? I don't. And some people say, you know, they're beating up on weak teams. They never could do that before, so woo, we'll take what we can get. West, Joliet West beat Central. That was cool. Coach Aubrey's smiling today. We love that. Jake Cutler learned what the word sack meant this past week. And Mr. Rogers is coming to the neighborhood today. I suspect he might continue to learn what the word sack means. Anyway, financially not a great week. If you had a retirement, you probably don't now. But don't worry, they'll figure it out again in a week. Palestinians tried to do an end run on statehood. All kinds of stuff going on. But the controversy of the week, the one that's burning on everybody's heart, the one that everyone is screaming about all over the place, is that Facebook changed its format. That's the one. That's the one that has the cage of the world rattled. I mean, I just love it. I love when Facebook changes its format. It's like people sit waiting for it. I know they're going to change it. And when they do, I'm going to be so mad. And I'm going to tell everybody. And I'm going to start a million-man march. And we're going to take them down. And this is going to be, I mean, as predictable as anything. Oh, man, all the complaints started. Where'd this go? And where'd that go? And, oh, what am I going to do? And then I love this brilliant person out there that's planted the rumor that Facebook is starting to charge. Oh, I love that one. And watching everybody in a fury, well, if they charge, I'm not going to do it anymore. And I'm like, yeah, sure. You're addicted to cocaine. There's no way if they charged you $10, you'd say, but I can't live without my Farmville. And I've got to know what my friends are doing. And they have to know that I just came out of the store. I mean, it's important that I get the message out to the world, right? Yeah, we couldn't live without it. 130. That's the number of candles on our cake this year. October 9th, we turn 130 years old. And I'm thinking about this. So we're born in 1881. Try to describe Facebook to a person from 1881. How would you do it? What would you say? Well, you sit down to your computer, huh? And you hold your mouse. Ew! What? What do you do? And we tell people what we're doing. And, well, why don't you just talk? Why don't you just share? I mean, they go through this whole thing. They would have no concept. You plug your computer in. Into what? What in the world? I don't get what you're talking about. But then I kind of flipped it and thought, okay, so what about talking to somebody from our church, not 130 years ago, but 130 years from now, about 240 name changes from today? You know, here we are, 130 years later, 2141. How would you describe Facebook to someone from 2141? Now, on one hand, you go, well, that's easy, because I just tell them, you know, of course, technology is going to continue in advance. Apple's going to continue to just teach us all these great things. I mean, before you know, hey, what if the opposite happens? What if we, like, get nuked into oblivion and we're back to being cavemen or something? I mean, we don't know what the world is going to look like 130 years from now. How do we? It's one thing to look at history and know what was, but how do we look in the future and know what will come? This past week, I learned through Facebook that a friend of mine from high school died. My first high school friend 48 years old, dead with cancer. You know, back when we were sitting in lunch in 10th grade, none of us sat there and said, so I wonder who's going to die first? And how are we going to die? How is it going to happen? You don't think that way. You don't think about the future that way when you're a kid. We don't know what's coming next. We don't know what's coming around the corner, either good things or bad things. This past week, we have in your folder this morning that Ben Mott, friend of our church, became the president of Green Lake Conference Center. The board unanimously voted him in. I'll guarantee you there was a time in Ben's life when he was growing up in England that he never dreamed in a million years he'd be the president of some place in Wisconsin. He had no idea that was coming in his future. God has this future for us. There's something out there. And we find ourselves asking the question, how do we know? How do we know what's coming next? This significant birthday, as we said last week, has us asking the question, what's next for us as a church? And how do we know what's next? And what we want to do then is really personalize that, because that's something every one of us should be asking. What's next in my life? Maybe my next job, or maybe what's happening in this relationship that's growing, or maybe what's my next meal? I don't know, but we're trying to figure out what comes next. How do I know the next thing coming down the road? So we want to take some time understanding. How do I know? How do I know what God has for me in the future? What path am I supposed to take? What decisions does He want me to make? How do I get there? Last week, we started digging into the life of Moses. Lessons from a man who learned how to follow God, who learned the next steps. He listened, and God spoke to him. How did he do that? He lived faithfully. We saw that in the beginning of Genesis chapter 3. The passage begins by saying, Moses woke up and was about to go out and tend his father-in-law Jethro's sheep. Just an ordinary day. He didn't wake up saying, today I plan on getting a message from God. Today, I plan on finding out what God has for me for the next 40 years. What did he do? He just lived faithfully, doing what he always did. Are you living faithfully? Faithfully completing the task that God has for you today. You see, sometimes we're so anxious to get to the future that we blow off now. I mean, how many of us have looked back on school and said, I wish I had studied. I wish I had opened the books I purchased. I wish I had done any of that. We're not necessarily faithful where we are now. We're just hoping for what's coming instead of being faithful to the task that God has for us today. The other thing Moses was willing to do is lean in. He was willing to listen. We saw in that first part of Genesis chapter 3 that he's out faithfully tending the sheep, and he notices off in the distance that there's a bush, and the bush doesn't seem to be burning up. It doesn't seem to be consumed, even though it's on fire. And the end of that verse says, I have to go see this. I have to find out what's going on. Do we live in such a way that we're leaning in, that we're listening, that we're trying to find out, God, what is it you're trying to say? I don't know. Some other people might have gone, oh, look, burning bush. Well, I got to go take care of the sheep. And missed that opportunity. But when something appeared on the radar that he said, now that's unusual, he had to go check it out. He leaned in. He listened. And what we saw about him most of all is that he got to know God. By the end of his life, it says Moses knew God face to face, like a man would speak to a friend. And that's really, more than anything else, I think, getting to know what God wants next comes down to how well do I know God? Because there are some things, flatly, as we learn the Bible, as we understand who God is, we get to know His character well enough that there are some things you don't even have to ask. For example, sometime in the next couple of weeks, some driver is going to cut you off. And you might have this impulse that says, I wish cars were built with a photon torpedo. I just wish that there was a button and boom, gone, explode. And you start praying, God, I'm thinking about this patent project. I'd like to build a photon torpedo into cars so that we could start eliminating bad drivers. And then all of a sudden you kind of go to this, oh, thou shalt not murder. Oh, okay, maybe God wouldn't think that's such a good idea. We don't have to think about it. We know God doesn't want us to kill somebody. We don't have to ask God, what do you think? Should he be eliminated? Shouldn't she be eliminated? What do you think? We don't have to go there because we know God's character well enough So many of the questions we have would be answered if we'd simply get to know God better. Start worrying so much about what does God want and start asking, who is God? How can I get to know who He is better? So we're going to be looking as we get started today on just listening to God. What does it mean to listen to Him? And as we think about leaning in and listening, I want to look at some foundational principles when it comes to talking to God and God talking to us. And here's the first. God made us for a relationship with Him. God didn't make you to torture you. You might think that, but He didn't make you to torture you. He didn't make you because He needed 7 billion people in the world and there you are. He didn't make you as a puppet to just do what He wants. God made you to have a relationship with you. How do I know that? Well, because back in Genesis, when the relationship between Adam and Eve and God was broken, the first thing God did was set about fixing the broken relationship. He said, there is going to come a point that the serpent's head will be crushed. The serpent's head will be crushed, and it will be crushed by someone named Jesus. So immediately He sets out in the task of saying, this relationship that's broken, I want to fix it. God created you for a relationship. Now, fundamental to relationships is communication. We communicate in our relationships. That's how they grow. We talk to each other. We listen to each other. God wants to communicate with us. He's actively at work in His world. It wasn't just a Bible thing. He's still actively at work in the world today. You remember we looked at Exodus chapter 2, and toward the end of the passage it said, He looked down on the people of Israel and knew it was time to act. It was time to deliver them from slavery. God had already decided what He was going to do. Too often we set out thinking, I'm going to do something great for God. God already has a plan of what He wants to do. He wants us to join Him in what He desires. What is it that He is trying to accomplish? He's actively engaged in the world, and He wants to engage us in His work. When He wants something done in this world, He doesn't send down a troop of angels, go fix that. He doesn't do some sort of supernatural, super zapper, boom, 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 fix, fix, fix. He moves the hearts of His people to engage in the work that He desires to accomplish. Further, God will let us know what He wants. God lets us know, this is the thing I'm trying to accomplish in the world, and I want you involved in it. And finally, when God speaks, we need to act. We need to act. The Bible says when we hear and we don't do something about it, it's an unloving act. Because the Bible equates love with obedience. So when I don't obey God, in effect, I'm saying, God, I don't love You. When God tells us to do something, we need to act on it. We need to do what He desires. So how does God speak today? How does God go about the process of communicating with His people? How can I know if God is speaking to me or not? I think there are several ways that God speaks. I'd like to just look at a couple today. One is that God speaks supernaturally. He speaks supernaturally. Let me give you some examples of the supernatural ways that God has spoken. We already talked last week about Moses, and he encounters this shrub that begins to speak. Sometimes I like to put myself in the place of these Bible characters and wonder what it would be like. I walk out my front door, there are 5 boxwoods right there. And if I was walking out to get the mail and all of a sudden that boxwood started to say, Dennis, come here. I mean, I'm running back in the house, I'm locking the door, I'm going up to my bedroom, and I'm just like scared to death. And no way, here he hears this voice and he says, what's going on? Speak, Lord. Let's communicate together. It's amazing, this burning bush. There are other ways that God communicated supernaturally to people. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah is really quite wiped out. He's pretty depressed. And God chooses to speak to him through what is referred to as a still, small voice. We see it in 1 Kings 19, beginning with verse 11. God says, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord said to him. And Elijah stood there, and the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was the fire. And the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Sometimes His supernatural communication comes through a still small voice, through a gentle whisper. Here's one of my favorites in the Bible. God used a donkey. God used a donkey to communicate His message. In Numbers chapter 22, we have a man named Balaam. And Balaam decides he's going to do what he wants to do. Who cares what God says? He's going to do what he wants to do. And so he sets out on a path that he's not supposed to go on. And the Bible tells us that three times he tries to proceed. He tries to move forward, and his donkey just stops dead in its tracks. And so what does he do? He starts to whip and beat his donkey. Come on, go forward, go forward. You need to go forward. And he refuses to go. And then comes this amazing verse, verse 28. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. Now, I've thought about this. I need a good donkey voice. What have I done to you that deserves you beating me three times? I don't know why my donkey's southern. But anyway, what have I done that deserves that you beat me three times? Now I'm just kind of putting myself again in this guy's, we have two turtles. And if I walked into Nate's room today and all of a sudden the turtle said, "Hey, you there," I'd be like, "Whoa, stop." I'd be running out of the room. And the Bible doesn't even say he stopped in his tracks. He just starts talking to his donkey. They start to have this conversation. God uses an animal in order to get the message across. It's amazing. How about this one? Daniel 5. Daniel 5, God uses a finger on a wall in order to communicate to a king. It says, many years later, King Belshazzar gave a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles, and he drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking the wine, he gave orders to bring the gold and silver cups that his predecessor Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem. He wanted to drink from them with the nobles, his wives, and his concubines. So they brought these cups, gold cups from the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives and concubines, drank from them. While they drank from them, they praised their idols made of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Verse 5. Then suddenly, they saw the finger of a human hand writing on the plaster of the king's palace near the lampstand. The king himself saw the hand as it wrote. I love this part. And his face turned pale with fright. That's the reaction I'm expecting. His knees knocked together in fear, and his legs gave way beneath him. God has used some amazing supernatural ways to communicate with people. He's spoken through prophets and angels. He's spoken through dreams and through visions. And one of the questions some of you are going to ask me right now is, okay, so do you believe God still does that today? I grew up in a theological background that basically said, once the Bible was finished, God stopped speaking. God didn't use supernatural means in order to communicate with His people. And here's where I've come to in my life. I basically say, God is God, and God can do what God wants to do. And if God today wants to speak through my turtle, He can do what He wants to do. Now, He hasn't. But He can if He wants to, because He is God. And as much as we want to take God and go, I have this theological box over here. Would you mind stepping into it for me? There. Now you fit just fine. He's the ruler of the universe. We're the dust made into a human that goes back to dust. What God wants to do, God can do. I will admit there are some weaknesses sometimes with some of the supernatural means of communication that we might like. For example, it can be subjective. It can be subjective. A lot of times when people were communicated with supernaturally in the Bible, they were also given a confirming sign to say, this is from God and here's how you'll know. 3 days from now, it's going to rain, or it won't rain, or the sun, or whatever. They'd have a sign. Obviously, supernatural communication is not repeatable. It's not on demand. You don't carry around a little boxwood. Hey, God, go ahead, talk now. It doesn't work that way. I can turn to my Bible at any time and find out what God has to say there. Sadly, sometimes people have manipulated these forms of communication. They'll come and say, God told me you should X, Y, or Z. Now, I think you should always listen, and here's why. God talked through a donkey once, and He could talk through a donkey again. Okay? I'm totally serious. I mean, you know what happens? I mean, it's kind of funny. If I came to you as a pastor and said, here's what God said, you go, Pastor Dennis said. But if a person you don't like came to you and said, and maybe it's even someone that's fairly wicked, you'd say, well, they don't know God. How can God use them? God chooses to speak the way God chooses to speak. And you know what's kind of interesting about wicked people and about people that don't care about you? They'll usually tell the truth the way your friends won't. They'll usually just kind of lay it out there unvarnished, won't they? So, it can be manipulated. I think we should always listen. It is kind of funny sometimes the people that are great at giving everybody else's messages from God never get one for themselves, but that's another story. I'm open to what God wants to do. The funny part is, I think most of us think, if my boxwood started to speak, if my puppy started to have a message today, I'd listen. Time and time again in the Bible, when people received supernatural communication, they either ignored it or questioned it. They didn't just jump and say, God has spoken. It's interesting the way that works. And I hate to say it, but sometimes when it comes to supernatural communication, we want supernatural communication because we don't want to do the hard work of building a relationship with God. We'd rather have an instantaneous message, boom, there it is, than take time here. Okay? It's amazing to me that a person will want supernatural communication, but this will sit at their house week after week after week unopened. You have supernatural communication right here. Open it. Find out what God has to say. He's talking to us. He wants us to hear what He has to say. Let me talk further about the way I think God talks more commonly to most people. The fact is, not every person in the Bible had a confrontation with an angel. Not every person in the Bible had a speaking shrub. Not every person in the Bible had an animal that talked back to them. Some people went without these forms of supernatural communication. How did they hear from God? Well, God not only speaks supernaturally, God also speaks relationally. He speaks relationally. We find this in John chapter 10. Beautiful passage in which Jesus is talking about the relationship that people have with God as the relationship between a shepherd and a sheep. It's the passage in which he said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In the beginning of the passage, verse 10, he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep, I love this part, the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. And they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger and run for they won't follow a stranger and will run for him because they don't know his voice. Further in the passage, in verse 27, it says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's a picture of a beautiful, intimate relationship that is developed between two beings that are communicating. God wants to communicate with us relationally, just like we communicate with people around us. What does that look like? Well, the first way that He's communicated with us relationally is right here. Left you an entire book in which you can just get to know Him better. You can get to know the patterns of the way that He's dealt with people. You can get to know what He loves and what He doesn't love. What He enjoys, what His children do, and what He does not enjoy in what His children do. We can get to know God relationally just by reading the letters that He's written to us, hearing what He has to say to us. We also get to know God through meditation. We talked about this last week in our journey group. Meditation, there are really two kinds of meditation going on in the world. You have Eastern meditation that says, empty your mind, make it a blank slate. Then there's biblical meditation that says, don't empty your mind, focus on something. Focus on something about God. Focus on a verse. Focus on something He's saying. So, you know, it's cool, for example, if you decide, I'm going to read through the Bible in the next 90 days. And you start to race, you read, and you're done. Hey, congratulations, gold star, you read the Bible in 90 days. Did you get a thing out of it? You can, I'm not saying you can't, but did you get a thing out of it? Sometimes we don't take long enough to meditate. My wife will hand me grocery lists. Sometimes they don't take long enough to meditate on them before I leave the house. And so I have to call and say, what do you mean by that? I know what that is, but what do you mean? What size? What kind? That sort of thing. We need to think through the implications. We need to ponder more what's going on. Ponder what the Word of God says. Think about the implications of it. One of the verses in John 10 talks about the fact that God has come to give us life and to give it to the full, to give us abundant life. Why don't you just stop on that verse and think for a moment, God, what do you mean when you say you want me to have abundant life? What does that look like? Think about the implications. Ponder. How does that work out in my life? That's part of the way that God speaks to us relationally. He speaks to us through conversational prayer, through those times that we're talking to Him and lifting up our hearts and letting Him know what's going on inside of us. He speaks to us through spiritual exercises. Spiritual exercises like fasting. I'm amazed when I tried fasting, about 27 minutes in, I'm going, man, I'm starving to death. I need to eat. I need to eat right now. And what I find throughout the day is I'm finding myself saying, man, I wish I could eat this, or I wish I could do this. I wish I could have that. And as I'm going along, I find myself literally saying, how often do I stop and say, God, I really need you? I really need food. How often do I think, God, I really need you? You know what is a great spiritual discipline for listening to God? Silence. We like to talk. God, here's my prayer list. Here's all the stuff. Here's the stuff you need to accomplish for me today. Here's my list. When's the last time you just said, God, I'm here and I'm just going to be quiet? Because I think part of the strategy of Satan in our times is to have so much static, so much noise that you can't hear. There's so much junk going on that you can't hear. I was searching for the Illini game yesterday. For some reason, it's not carried locally. And so I'm finding these stations where it's like 3rd and 20. And it's all static, and I want to hear the message. That's the way it is with us and God. We're hearing all the static, and we're not being quiet enough to hear what He's actually saying. He can speak to us through circumstances. Now, I've got to admit to you, for me, this is one of the most confusing ways He speaks. Because sometimes the message of a circumstance isn't necessarily what we think it is. I give you this example. In the Bible, a lot of times, when we look at success in modern times, success means what? Growing numbers, moving ahead, doing great. Failure means what? Falling apart. What does it look like in the Bible? Here you have Gideon, who he's more successful every time he gets rid of a soldier. God's chopping his army down and he says, we're to 300. Now we're successful. Now we're ready. And any human would say, you are nuts going into battle with 300 people. There's no way. So sometimes the message of circumstances can be confusing. Is God telling me to quit or is God telling me to persevere? What is God saying in this situation? I don't think we can always just rely on circumstances. We have to hear the Word of God. We have to hear other people. There have to be more things playing in so that we can understand what God is saying. God speaks to us through other people. And like I said, sometimes those are godly people and sometimes they're not godly people. But God can still get us His message. He can still let us know what He wants. The final one I have for you is through prompts and heartbursts. I wish I could explain this one better, except to say there have been times in my life that clearly, and you read about what the Bible says about the Spirit of God, clearly the Spirit of God just gave my heart a thump and said, here's what you need to go do. And I went ahead and did it. And I found out that's what God wanted me to do in that particular day. That was necessary. It was what God wanted. Being sensitive to the prompts. Or what's a heartburst? Your passion. What's the thing you're passionate about? What's the thing you're saying, this has got to change or our world is going to self-destruct? What is the thing that you say, this is my heartbeat, this is my burst? And when someone else isn't passionate about it, you're like, are you kidding me? It's the most important thing. God's speaking to you through your passions, through the things that are important to you. All these ways are ways that God talks to us relationally. We need to lean in. We need to listen. What happens when a person really leans in? A person who leans in is a listener. It's a person who listens, and this is what it looks like. And I really want you to hear these, because I think that while on one hand you're sitting in church, you hear it, and you say, well, of course I agree with that. There's another level when you walk out the door today that you're going to ask yourself, do I really agree with that? So let me give them to you. leaners are listeners. And leaners expect God to speak. They expect it. I don't think a lot of us expect God to speak. Some of us hope God will speak. But for the most part, we think, I live in a world that's very scientific, very modern. God doesn't speak in this kind of world. God doesn't speak in this kind of era. Leaners expect God to speak. Leaners listen to God. Again, it comes back to this Bible right here. They listen to what he has to say. And by listening, like I said, John 10 through 17 talks about the fact that listening isn't just hearing the message. Listening is obeying the message, doing it, and obeying equals love. That's what Jesus says. They listen to God, but here's the other piece that's really important. Leaners listen for God. Now, by that, I don't mean like an advocate. You know, God might miss this, so I'm going to listen on his behalf. I mean, you're listening for God in situations. You're listening for God and wondering, how is God working in this person's life? How is God working in this situation? How is God working at work? For some of you, that's a novel thought. God works at my work? Are you kidding me? Really? God is at work everywhere in his world. How is God at work? Are you looking for it? Are you leaning in? Are you listening for God? And I want to just reinforce it again. Leaners act on what they hear. They're not just fascinated by the fact that God has communicated. They know that God has communicated because he wants them to do something. As you continue to look at a leaner thinks differently than the rest of the world. In fact, there are some ways in which you are going to feel like a foreigner if you live like a leaner. For example, to most of us, life seems pretty mundane. Think about it for a moment. Moses wakes up one day. He goes out to tend the sheep of his father Jethro. He didn't wake up, like I said earlier, and say, today God's going to tell me his 40-year plan. Today God is going to lay it out, and I'm going to know what I'm doing for the rest of my life. He woke up and said, today I'm going to tend sheep. You're thinking, tomorrow I'm going to get up and go teach those kids. I'm going to get up and go to that office. I'm going to get up and stand by that machine. I'm going to get up and wipe that nose. This is my day. Day after day after day after day. And for most of us, we kind of get lost in the mundane. Instead of realizing there's something supernatural going on in the mundane. Because leaners see beyond the ordinary. They see that this isn't just mundane. That God's doing something, and they're listening to him, and they're listening for him. Leaners look for purpose in everything. What's the purpose God has in this? And I mean in everything. What's the purpose that God has in this relationship that he's established in my life? Leaners, get this one, leaners see God in everything. Now, some of you at this point are ready to get off the train. You're like, I know these are the Jesus freak people. You know, oh, man, they're just Jesus, everything's always that. They want to turn out. Hey, I'm telling you what. If we're really Christ followers, we realize God is involved in everything. There's no area of life that's off limits from his influence. So leaners start to see the fingerprints of God in everything that's going on in their life. I'm going to give you this one. Leaners look for divine appointments. I'm at the stage of my life that I have a couple of doctors that I visit a couple times a year. In fact, I'm due to go to one two Fridays from now. This doctor is really interesting. We set a time to meet, and he decides that it's okay to see me 2 hours after the time that we have set to meet. It's amazing the way that works. He's a rheumatologist, and after that two-hour waiting, he comes in and says, congratulations, you still have arthritis. And he gives me a bill, and I walk away. It's just an amazing thing I've got going, this appointment. I don't know about you, but sometimes I kind of resent my appointments in life. Things that I got to go through in order to get my medicine, in order to get whatever I want, I've got to go to this appointment. I want you to flip appointments a little bit and think instead in terms of divine appointments. That God has set up circumstances in your life where he wants you to do something for him. God has people that come to your house all the time. God has people that come into your life all the time God has people that you work next to all the time. And those aren't just chance circumstances. The Bible says you're an ambassador for God. You're the one carrying His message. These are divine appointments. These are opportunities for you to speak into that person's life, to speak into their situation. Tell you what, some of us, we have coworkers that just, oh man, you wish the boss would fire them. You know, you just, please, get this person out of my life. Have you ever listened beyond the pain they are to the pain they're experiencing? Have you ever just stopped long enough to say maybe they're lashing out and hurting everybody because they're really a hurting person? And you may be the first person that is ever actually compassionate enough to not stop and say, what's going on? What's the hurt? Divine appointments. God has you as His emissary in His world to do His work. We need to lean into those circumstances and know that he's involved all the time. So the leaner asks questions like, God, why did you put me here? Why did you put me here today? Why am I with this person? What do you want me to say to them? What do you want me to do for them? They're leaning all the time and asking, God, as the person that's carrying out your mission in this world, what do you want? What do you want? God wants us to do great things for Him. He really does. We'll never know what they are if we don't listen. You can wait all your life for a speaking shrub. It might happen, I don't know. In the meantime, you're just treading spiritual water. God has things He wants you to do. God brought you into His family because He wants to use you to do His work in His world, to be His hand and His feet in this world. And the question is, will we listen long enough? Will we lean in long enough to get the message and do it? Let's talk to Him right now. Father, I pray that You would challenge some of the things we're thinking right now. Because I'm sure for some of us, we're thinking, man, I'm not going to be one of those people that sees God in everything. There's my God world at church, and then there's my real world. I don't mix that any more than I mix my corn and my potatoes. I want those things separate. But God, You're involved in everything. And we're Your children for a purpose. You want us to have this loving relationship with You so that we, in turn, can be listening to You and doing what You ask. I pray that we'd be listeners, that we'd lean in. This would be a week that our ears would be wide open. And we'd hear Your voice. And we wouldn't just hear it, but we'd do what You ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we continue to listen together, we're going to receive communion. That is still speaking to us about the commitment of love that God has made to us and the high, high price that has already been paid so that everybody in this room and in the world can have a relationship with God and enjoy Him. Let's spend some time listening together.
When we started, Justin had you put your name on this card. Would you take that out right now? I have some commitments I want you to think about on the back side. And I want to start at the bottom and work my way up, okay? The first one is this one. I will be more open to divine appointments. I'm going to start looking at my life and asking, God, do You have a purpose in this today beyond just what seems like the ordinary purpose? Beyond what would be the mundane? What is going on here that You want me to get involved in? So I'm going to be looking more for divine appointments. The middle one, I'm going to learn to lean in and listen. I really want to do that. I want to lean in more, be aware of the fact that God is at work in His world, that He's at work in everything, and I want to be listening for what He's doing and joining Him in that. The first one is an opportunity to do something that we haven't done for a long time. I believe God speaks through everyone, not just, you know, people on a board or a pastor or something like that. God is speaking through all of us. And there are burdens God has placed in your heart. There are observations He's given you. There are things that He's pressing you on. And what we want to do is start a series of, we're going to call them pulse groups. It's one time, a couple hours, where you'll get together with a handful of people, and there's just going to be a list of questions we're going to ask you to try to get an idea of the pulse. You know, when I go to the doctor, they do this. The first thing they say is, congratulations, you're alive. I'm always relieved. And then beyond that, they start to tell me some things about myself based on my heart rate, based on the strength of it, and all that sort of stuff. This is an opportunity for us to listen to you and say, where's God pressing you these days? What's God doing in His church? What's God doing in His community that is pressing on your heart? So we're not setting a time or anything yet. Right now we're just gauging interest and saying, yeah, I'd like to be in on one of those. That'd be cool. One time, 2 hours, I could do that. I'd love to be in on that conversation. That's something you'd be interested in. Check that off today. Our servers are coming right now. They'll collect your offering and your card as well. And as they do, I want to say thanks again for taking the time to come and worship together this morning, to learn together today. Remember, it doesn't end here. I mean, in a very real sense, it starts now. Now we get to take what we've learned today and put it into practice for the rest of the week. One of the things that happened this past week that was really great, I really have to commend you. Our journey groups got started. I think almost every group is up and running now. And last week we said as we were leaving, it's great to sign up. It's another thing to show up. You got to show up if you've signed up. And as we've been checking in with group leaders, group after group has had near perfect attendance. It's been amazing. Thanks so much for taking the step to show up. Because I know, like I said last week, it's not an easy thing to do. So here's the next most difficult thing to do. Show up again. To show up a second time. So your group is now, I tell you what, it's like any habit. You got to do it more than once. Do it twice. Do it even if it didn't feel quite right last week, go again. Now, our running group met yesterday. You see a bunch of people walking around like this today. You see the runners. They'll be back. Even though they hurt today, it's worth it. So make sure you get there again. Why don't you stand up, and we're going to close our time singing. I have sitting on the floor an apple, a potato, and a carrot. All stuff that's been grown by us. Table of it as you leave today. Take it and enjoy it. All right?
And on an energizing note, I want to enlist you to be in the percussion session. Put your hands together. Clap. Clap. There it is right there. It all goes back into God's pocket. We want to live like it. Sing, yours is the kingdom. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever is yours. Heaven and earth bow down in the wonder of your name. Heaven is open, death is broken, and the glory forever is yours. And nothing can overcome the power of your name.